I guess let's start with some easy stuff.
All right.
Tell me the story of how you first started coming up here. When was that?
Well, let's see. What year was that? It was our daughter was one. Tyler was eight. So, I mean, that was over 30 years ago. And like I said, it was a friend of ours had said something about the about this place. And we decided just to come up and try it. So my wife had called the resort, and the resort owners at the time, she talked to the husband, and he had a cabin, but it was a really tiny cabin. So there was five of us in a tiny cabin. It was rather comfy and cozy, but it was kind of chaotic. But and at the very beginning, it was kind of like, is this really going to work out? Well, the following year, we called to see if we could get a bigger cabin. And, well, that's when we ended up with cabin three here. And from that point on, it was just, we started meeting people up here that we knew, could be good friends with. And it was just one of those things where we would always come up at the same time every year, so we could not only be up here, but also be with those people as well. It was just, it was meant to be.
Did you come up looking for fishing, or was it family time, or?
It was mainly family time. I mean, fishing was a bonus. You know, I love to fish, but the kids were kind of small at the time, so it was me out in the boat most of the time by myself. But as they got older, then they were able to get out here. But that was the bonus. Fishing was a bonus.
So did you grow up fishing?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, my mom and my grandparents liked to fish. Fished bullheads on the Rock River over by Burnett when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And so we started there. And then my stepfather was a big fisherman. I used to fish a lot with him, trout fishing and all that kind of thing. And it just kind of evolved in that. Then as my brothers started getting older, they started getting into muskie fishing. Well, then that's kind of hooked me into muskie fishing, and it's been that way ever since.
Mm-hmm. So you came up here, and were you looking to fill a freezer, or was it just more of the action out there?
Well, in some cases it was to take fish home, yes, because nothing's better than having a fish fry at home in the middle of winter. It reminds you of the place. I mean, I would stand out in my deer hunting outfit on the grill, because we would do it on the grill. I would take a iron skillet, fill it with oil, and that's how we would cook, so it wouldn't smell up the house. And I would stand out there in middle winter and cook fish. But yeah, and it's like, there's nothing like it. It tastes, it's great.
It brings summer back.
Huh? Exactly, that's exactly right.
So what was walleye fishing like up here when you first started?
When I first started up here, it was kind of a hit or a miss. I mean, it was difficult. You know, you could hear people talking about it. It wasn't anything like it is now. You were lucky, unless you went with a guide that knew the flowage better than you did and knew where to go. It was difficult for just the average Joe to find walleye. You go to the spots that you would read about and so on, but the chances of catching them. And actually, back in those days, there wasn't a size limit on a walleye. People were taking fish out that were 8-10 inches long and keeping them. So I don't know if that decimated the population, but it wasn't really good for it. And then, it wasn't the greatest.
So researchers talk a lot about, you know, opportunistic fishermen, of like, if one species isn't there, you'll find another species. And if you wanted to be here and walleye weren't readily available, you're not going to turn into a diehard walleye fisherman.
No, we, you know, typically, I mean, we didn't specifically seek out walleye. I mean, it was a bonus if you caught one. And, but we were up here for the panfish to take home. You know, if you got a walleye, oh, awesome, you know. But normally it was crappies and bluegills in the spring. And in the summertime, fishing's kind of tough, so you take what you get. Mm-hmm. And in the fall, well, we were typically up here in the fall if we come up for musky fishing, and that was about it. We didn't fish anything else.
So for some of the other people that were up here, was it kind of that same thing of just, you know, what's just nice to be on the water?
Yes, that pretty much. I mean, they did fish. Actually, our friend Bert he was diehard. He was over the top. He would, and it really didn't matter what he caught. He just wanted to catch fish. He did, when he was younger, he used to tell stories about how he was a diehard walleye fisherman. But as he got older. And he's the one that taught me this place. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't know it.
Mm-hmm. So as your kids got older, did you start putting a pole in their hand? Were they asking to come out?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we started them off as young as we could. Where we used to live, there used to be some farmer's ponds that you could fish out of. And that's how we kind of introduced them into fishing. We would just drive over to the farmer's pond and just sit along the edge and try to catch what we could catch. And nine times out of ten, we wouldn't take anything because God only knows what was in that pond. But you would catch fish, and that's how they got going. And then, when they got old enough to be in the boat and stuff like that. Yeah, and my wife was always really good about making sure that we had things there that if we were going to go out fishing, that if they lost interest, that they had something else to do. Like whether it was a coloring book or a reading book or you name it, she had something them to do. And so it kind of bided the time, you know, because if it's not, you know, how's a kid's attention span going to be if they're not catching fish? Understood completely.
It's bad enough with panfish. Could you imagine trying to take a kid walleye fishing?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not unless you go to a lake that's just completely full of walleyes. Yeah, no. Yeah, it's difficult.
So tell me a little bit about the evolution of coming up here and what it's meant. Obviously, they started with little kids, and then they've gone into adults, and now this is your first time with a grandchild.
Right, right. It's just been amazing. I mean, it's kind of like you see the generations, and you try to instill in them a sense of respect. Obviously, we've always tried to instill it in our kids, but respect for this place. I mean, these places are going away. You know, you go down where we live, you go to a lake, there's houses on top of houses, and you don't go on the lake during the weekends because there's no room for you. Or you go out there like as early as you possibly can in the morning and get off the lake before the crazies hit it. Not up here. I mean, especially on this end of the flowage where you hardly ever see boats. I mean, they'll come flying by, or the kids will be water skiing and stuff like that. There's no place like this. And so the kids have really understand that, yeah, this is a unique place. And it's just amazing how they've adapted to it. I mean, they love this place. And whenever we have the opportunity to have them all together, whenever we're up here, we try to make it so that they have the opportunity, if they can come, they can be here too. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter to us if we have to pay for it or not. It doesn't matter. The point is, we're going to be here, so why don't you come?
Mm-hmm. You were talking before a little bit about some of the shift that's occurred with the fish population that are in here.
Right.
And you've seen some of that change over the years. And,
right.
And like maybe some of the evidence that people are talking about what's being done work.
Well, yes, absolutely. The walleye population, it's amazing. And a lot of it I see online. Basically, the guides are really good about posting stuff when they take guys out to fish. Obviously, they're promoting their business. But in the same token, it's promoting the walleye fishing. I mean, I would say 5 years ago, I would say 5 years ago, it wasn't like it is now. I mean, there were walleyes. There were a lot of what the guys called shorts, stuff that was under the slot limit. So you could slowly starting to see the evolution of the fish starting to get to the point where, you'd catch a big fish every once in a while. But nine times out of ten, we always called them cigars. They were little bitty short ones. Or they weren't big enough that really an average honest fisherman wouldn't keep. And it's just progressively gotten better, and the slot limit seems to have made a big difference. I think the lake association, the people that own the resorts around here that put all the effort into this stuff, have really made a big impact on doing research basically seeking out experts. How can we make this better? I mean, because this is their livelihood. And so at the end of the day, it's a combination of all that. I'm not really big into what the Department of Natural Resources has done up here. I don't know all of the things, but I know the changes that they've made, at least in the case of the walleye population, in my opinion, have made a big impact. And that's a good thing. Now, my grandfather used to say everything's cyclical. Now, is this a cyclical situation? I hope not. not for the sake of the fishermen that like to fish walleyes all the time, for the sake of the guides that make good money doing it, you know, it's like, yeah. And we don't have a lot of places like this in Wisconsin.
Could you imagine a situation where you hear things are so good that you're like, no, today we're going to target walleye. We may be up here for a week, but day two or day three, like, let's go walleye fish. Let's try and find some.
Maybe. I'm not that good of a walleye fisherman. I don't really know the ins and outs as well. I've got a couple of really good friends that have been trying to give me some ideas and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's kind of like, depending upon the time of year we come up, usually it's always been, this is what we're going to do. We've never really taken that input to make the decision that, yeah, we're just going to go fishing for walleye. It may be, it's a good idea to try that. It doesn't hurt to try.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about the change in the resort and what they've been pushing. Because you probably remember that. I remember being, as a long time ago, the resorts would say, we're a walleye resort, or we're a fishing resort, come up here to fish. And now it seems like the shift has been more to party or relaxation and less on, like, the other activities on the water.
Well, you know, and I would agree with that. Yes, when we first started coming up here, it was like a family fishing resort. There wasn't, actually, when we first started, there was no bar. There literally wasn't a bar. It wasn't until the owner, after we first started coming up, actually put a bar in. But it stayed calm. I mean, yeah, the guys would go up to the bar and you could have a drink and do this kind of stuff, but they didn't have music. They had, you know, jukebox and stuff like that. And then it evolved to a different type of a resort thought process where, yeah, it's partying and bringing people in from off the flowage, to setting it up so that you had something there for people who want to come, whether it's music or whatever, drink specials. That was what changed. And then now it's kind of gone back to, it's kind of the people that own it now, in my opinion, have figured out a balance. They have music on certain days. They bring people down here, and then, but yet in the same token, it's not that way 24/7. And I personally think that, to me, that's the best way to go. I completely understand that at the end of the day, it's about making a dollar. They got to keep this place going, and you're going to do what you need to do. And everybody vacations differently. So, and we're quiet people. We want things calm.
Now, your wife's not here this week, but you said she's been supportive of you fishing. How does that go into relationships of fishing? If one does fish and one doesn't, what's the balance there?
Well, she loves the fish. It's just about getting the time to be able to get out to fish. When, now that we're retired and the kids are older and they're not in the house, when we're up here, we usually pick certain days. We'll go out for a couple hours to fish and catch fish, and she loves the fish. Actually, her present to me for my 40th birthday was buying a fishing license. She never fished she didn't fish like she does now. And so that was cool. And from that point on, we've just been doing that. I mean, we have our own thing. She loves the kayak, and she could be out there all day long in a kayak. But no, it really hasn't affected our relationship whatsoever.
But that's important,
it better.
Right? That people find, you hear about, like, fishing widows, or guys are always gone, but finding that blend.
Yep. Well, and she's very understanding. She knows that you need time by yourself. She needs time by herself. You have certain hobbies. I have certain hobbies. They don't always have to be the same. It would make life rather boring, in my opinion. But she's always been supportive of all this stuff. And 99.9% of the time, she's the one that pushes a lot of it. You know, she's the driving force in it all. Let's put it that way.
So you've been out the last couple of days?
Yep.
How's it been out?
It's been okay. Yeah, I mean, the bluegills are starting to come in, so we can get some panfish, and we got some crappies. We haven't seen any walleyes yet, but again, we weren't strictly fishing. This is typically when we start fishing for these things. If we go out earlier in the morning, yeah, you may get lucky and get a couple of walleyes, depending upon where you're fishing on the flowage. But it, for the most part, it's been good. It's been comfortable. Let's put it that way. The last 4 or 5 years, the weather has just been incredibly weird up here. I mean, in the Memorial Day weekend, it's like 90 degrees. It's like, that's unheard of. I mean, I used to come up here with my friend Bert this week, typically, And there were times we would literally have to have our deer hunting gear on to be out there fishing. It was so cold. Or we wouldn't be fishing, because if the water temperature isn't a certain temp, you're not going to be catching fish. Mm-hmm. So.
So when you're out there, can you tell, like, from the first bite when it's a walleye? Does it hit a little different?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Typically, you're fishing much deeper water for walleye. And when you're fishing panfish, this time of year, you're usually fishing closer to shore because they're coming in to spawn. But yeah, walleye, you can definitely tell. It's a nice soft bite, and it just goes really slow away. It's not one of those things where it's going to pull out of your hand. And you got to be kind of cognizant of, yep, this could be what I think it is. And then, as a matter, you have to make sure that you don't lose it.
What is the balance of bringing one in? Because my great uncle always says don't horse it.
Exactly. No, you just gotta you've just gotta make, first of all, you gotta make sure you got it hooked, and then the other thing is you just bring it in slowly. I mean, it's not like a northern, and it's not like a muskie where they're just gonna rip the pole out of your hand. No, not a walleye. It hits, you know it's there, and you just slowly bring it back to the boat. If you could literally tear the bait out of its mouth. And sometimes they're soft mouth, they're just tasting it to see if that's what they really want. So it's just a matter of giving them time to get it, and then you just bring it back slowly.
Is there a different feeling though, especially when you weren't expecting a walleye?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, when you bring it up to the boat, it's like, yeah, the first thing is you scramble for the net. You don't bring the thing over the side of the boat without a net.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming you've kept enough walleye to eat.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yes, it's like freshwater lobster. It's walleye's the best.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's just a better fish. It tastes better. I mean, I'm partial to bluegills and crappies, but if I get a walleye, no, that's like I said, it's like lobster. It's great.
Did you give those to the kids, or did you?
Oh no! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Yes! Absolutely.
I wasn't sure if that was like the inside tender where it never officially existed.
No, exactly. No. Everybody got everything. We've shared for everyone.
So, talk to me just a little bit more about like what it means to you to have your grandson up here.
It's just amazing.
This is his first time, right?
Yep. It's third generation now. Hopefully, it will continue. Hopefully, this place will be here. You know, with all the things that are changing in our world right now, I just pray to God that he has the opportunity to have the opportunity that his mom and dad have had, and that we've had. You know, it's like, I guess sometimes people don't really appreciate how much that kind of legacy that you leave, what that really means, you know, at the end of the day. I'm hoping that the grandkids will be cognizant to this place, because like I said, there's no other place like it, in my opinion, here, at least in the state of Wisconsin.
I mean, when you go back home and they say, oh, what'd you do? Like, oh, it was up at the, I mean, do you have a special name for it, or how?
We always call it the chip. Yeah, we're up at the chip, and everybody knows, people that we know where we typically go when we're up at the chip. So it's like, yeah, they're very familiar with the things that we do. And and then my wife will spend weeks posting pictures on Facebook or whatever, so everybody gets a chance to see what we were all doing.
And that's one of those things that is almost universal for a lot of people in Wisconsin. Like to say, I went to a resort,
yep,
fishing.
Yep. Well, and the cool thing about it too is then, if there's people that don't really understand or really don't know or are interested in it, I mean, you pass that on to them and the potential of them getting their kids and their grandkids involved in it. I mean, it basically kind of snowballs into something. Because we've had friends that have come up here that have never been to a resort before. And now, granted, they're not staying here anymore. They found other places. But the whole point was that they were actually able to go up to the Northwoods, find a place to actually stay, and witness this kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, there's, in my opinion, there's nothing better.
And that's why up north means something.
Absolutely. That's exactly. Get what's the up north? North of Highway 10 or something like that, or something.
That's a debate. All
I know.
I
know.
It depends on how far you went. That the line goes north.
You know, I always said it would be so much nicer if we were only like 3 hours away, but the kids always come back and make the statement that, well, if it was only 3 hours away, it wouldn't be as special as it is. It's a good point.
Mm-hmm. All right, can I get you to say and spell your name for me, just so I have it correct on tape?
Sure. My name is Randy. Maas. And his last name is spelled M-A-A-S.
All right. And can you also give me the names and spellings of
So
just so we have it correct.
All right.
I won't ask you for birthdates or anniversaries.
No. Her name.
Her name is
correct. Yes, Abby's name. First of all, it's Tyler Maas, same spelling, last name. And it's Warner is our grandson, Warner, W-A-R-N-E-R, Maas. And it's Abigail, and I'm going to mess it up, I know I am, is A-B-I-G-A-E-L.
Maas. Oh, Abigail, like
yes.
Storm.
Yes. Yeah, we changed.
The Gaelic version.
Yes, the Gaelic version.
Okay.
Actually, her mom's Irish heritage, so.
That's it.
No, don't ask birthdays.
Are you a Maas as well?
I am a Maas.
She is a Maas at this point, yes.
All right, that was great. Anything else you want to add?
Anything? No.
Walleye cheeks.
Oh, yes, oh. Yes, walleye cheeks.
We don't tell people about walleye cheeks. No, I learned that when you were the ones doing the fish fry,
yes,
the walleye cheeks went last. And I was like, oh, you can have it. We're good.
Yeah, no,
like,
this is just the
have
leftovers.
Some more. Yeah. And then,
yes. I forgot all about the walleye cheeks.
What are you guys going to eat? Oh, we've got these.
I never forget that one year I was up earlier and then Tyler came up later and I had caught a 22 inch walleye over in Scott Lake. And 2 days later, he came up, and the third day, he caught a 22-inch walleye on Scott Lake. That's the limit that you can keep.
Okay.
Because it's based off of, because it's the, what do they call it? I can't remember.
Slot limit?
Well, it's also...
Or the trophy one.
Well, no, it's also set by the state for the tribal lands, too.
Okay.
For the indigenous people up here, so they've got the slot limit that seceded territory it's called. So that's what this slot limit is, part of what they call the seceded. So 22, I think it was the max you could keep. Because I will never forget, I had caught the fish, and I had it in the boat, and I had texted at the time the resort owner that was here at the time, what's the max that I can keep? Because I was actually on the water. Because I wasn't going to put the boat, fish in the boat, because that's possession.
Mm-hmm.
And she texted me back and said 22, and I measured, got it. I was able to bring it back, so I knew.
Did the Couture come out here?
I don't know. I've not seen them. I don't know. I mean, we see them on the flowage. I mean, they've got spots where they go and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But as far as being on the water, I really wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're out here, but.
I mean, I know that back in the 80s, that was a big deal. That was probably around. No, a little before you first started.
Oh yeah, way before. Yeah, yeah, yep.
But have you heard of any tent? I mean, is that something that still comes?
I've never heard of anything. And in my opinion, I have an opinion on how the Native Americans have been treated in this country. So I'm not going to get into that. I mean,
but that's not an issue that you know people.
It doesn't seem to be.
Because that used to be the thing. Like, there's no walleye. That's
you know,
speared them.
Well, you know, and it seemed to be at least just from what I remember. Going back that far, it seemed to be a bigger issue over in the eastern part of the state up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're talking Eagle River, Rhinelander, Minocqua, stuff like that, that seemed to be the bigger area. I don't ever remember it being over here. It may have been when the spearing started to be a real big thing, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and personally, hey, this was their land first, so why not? Let them do what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as the rules for them are the same, if the rules for us are the same for them, I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. It's when people take advantage of things, which we all have a tendency to do. That's when things get crazy.
So I heard that got dug out of the muck.
Yes. Yeah, that was alive. Yeah. Actually, Bert, the guy that was up, that I used to come up with, he would bring that up. Or we had to leave it up here every year. And then what he would do is, when we would come off the lake, instead of going up and cleaning the fish every day, well, that was back in the day when you could keep, well, initially it was 50, then it went down to 25. We would put them in there so that you didn't have to clean every day, and then they would stay alive, because you don't want, obviously, dead fish. They don't taste good. And for whatever reason, this last year, I forgot to grab it, and it just stayed up here, and somehow it stayed in the lake. and Abby found it, and so we're taking it back home, so it's coming home with us.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're good here. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
For sharing your story.